Mini episode 1619 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1619. Not to be confused with the 1619 Project. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here. And I have with me today one of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries here, a gentleman who has been covering the XFL longer than just about anybody. And we'll get that kind of fleshed out here when we talk to him. He went and covered the third incarnation of the XFL for the championship game. He has been covering the entire season. Where he's been covering the XFL all along, our Sports Central, of course, their great football writer, Fran Stuckberry. And Fran dates all the way back to 2001 with the original XFL, followed the second incarnation in 2020. And now this one, he has this entire journey he's been on covering it. And we're going to talk to him about how the XFL championship game culminated the third season and the beginning of the third incarnation of the XFL. It's Fran Stuckberry. Fran, welcome back to the program, my man.
Happy to be here, Rick, as always. I mean, 2001 was the first article I wrote for our Sports Central on the XFL, and I never envisioned 22 years later I'd be covering the championship.
That was excellent. I know you were looking forward to going. You were talking about doing this even before the season started. You made it out there, and of course, you've been covering the XFL on a week-by-week basis. And it's one of those things where I know in terms of as the season was going along, there were certain things I think that were probably more foreseen than other things here. You probably could have foreseen the Defenders being in the championship game here. Arlington, maybe not so much.
Well, Arlington, not so much, because they were a struggling team until they got Luis Perez and a trade for Ryan Mueller. Funny thing about Ryan Mueller, Vegas ended up cutting him like a week later, and then he ended up joining the Renegades a week after that, and he's part of the championship team as well. So you trade for a player, you give up a player, and you get him back, and he's part of that championship as well.
Absolutely. And again, for Arlington, a team very much, even coming down the stretch, a 4-6 record, but they were 3-2 halfway through, 1-4 in the second half of the season. Talk about flipping a switch, Fran.
Well, Luis Perez ignited that. In the conference championships, they defeated the Houston Roughnecks, and the offense was on fire. And the championship, they went out to 17 points till DC finally put points on the board. In the first quarter, DC defenders had -1 total yards.
Absolutely. It was very, very shocking the way that it went in the first half, that a DC defender team that had been so strong all year couldn't get out of the blocks, really. But let's back up a second here and talk about XFL Championship Weekend in San Antonio, the sights and sounds.
It was awesome. I went down to media day. The first caught my attention, Rick, was when you had the end zone. You had the red defender end zone, and then you had the blue Arlington Renegades zone. And then you had the XFL logo at midfield. You had the XFL trophy there as well. And one interesting moment was, Rick, whenever we get a college football bowl season, out of all the, 45, 50 or 1,000 bowl games that they played, we always talked about the Alamo Bowl, always talked about it.
Yep. Yeah, it's one of the more important ones that are not part of the New Year's Six. And again, for somebody like me that doesn't like the expanded college football playoff, I liked it at four teams anyways, but if you're gonna expand it like this, the whole thing to me of first round games at college campuses, I think is stupid. I think you should go for the next four bowl games down the line. If you were doing that, the Alamo Bowl would certainly be one of them.
San Antonio is a destination city. San Antonio would be a fun place to visit. And the funny thing is, Rick, I'll be honest with you now, after this Expo Championship experience, the Alamo Bowl this year, I'm going to be even more into that now than I was prior to this Expo Championship experience. Another fun thing about the Alamo Dome is that I spoke to a guy working for it. He says they're going to, in a few weeks, they're going to install $12 million video and audio sound system to make the experience even better. Even though it's an older place, they keep on making it better and better for UTSA, other events, and the XFL concerts, and whatever else they want to put in there at San Antonio.
Well, they could be moving back to the days when you might get a couple of overflow Spurs games there, because it's very unusual that we would necessarily do two segments on a show back-to-back that would center on a single market to this degree. 16-18, of course, talking about Victor Wembanyama going to the Spurs with the number one pick in the draft lottery a couple of days later. So a heck of a week in San Antonio between winning the lottery later in the week and hosting the XFL championship a couple of days before then.
Well, it's definitely a great city to visit. And if you stay downtown, you don't need a car rent. I only spent around $20 on Lyft getting to and from the airport. But the nice thing was I stayed at Holiday Express, and they let me check in 2 hours early. I was able to catch up on some sleep on Thursday. Then I woke up and I went down to the Riverwalk and went on a riverboat ride. It's only $15. So there are some things in San Antonio you don't have to break the bank to enjoy.
I've heard about that. I've heard about the fun of the Riverwalk. I've been close to San Antonio, but I've never been there. That is definitely on my bucket list to do. And again, for you to be there and get to see the championship the way that it played out, I know how much the XFL has always meant to you. You've been covering it throughout the course of the season, and what a culmination for you to be there and see it all play out on the grand stage.
It was exciting. I mean, it's funny, like the media side of me was a little disappointed that I was wrong about my prediction with DC winning the championship. But the fan side of me that covered the New York Guardians in 2020, that was down in Arlington, watching the Dallas Renegades New York Guardians game, seeing Luis Perez lead the New York Guardians to victory, having the time of my life in Dallas, doing a Cowboy Stadium tour, having a waffle in the shape of Texas, having the best grilled catfish ever, and then seeing where JFK was shot and went to Cotton Bowl and all the other sides, thanks to my friend Chris Carter. And then a week later, coming back and COVID-19 shutting down the world, where many people, including yours truly, crashed and burned for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. That's a tough chapter in everybody's lives, and the XFL, that incarnation of it. I was having fun watching Houston in particular. I had sort of adopted them because, as I said on the show at the time, June Jones to me has always been one of the underappreciated offensive minds in the history of the game. One of the guys who was very influential in the omnipotence of the spread offense here today, the run and shoot as it was back in the day. But the 2020 version of this, it wasn't going to die. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he and his ex-wife and a corporate business partner end up buying it up and making it end up Redbird Capital Partners. They're the ones and making a real entity out of it, going with the Disney networks for programming this past year. And they got very good coverage, I think, on all of those networks. And again, building up to the championship game that, again, I think the DC Defenders, everyone would say, a relatively heavy favorite coming into the game, but couldn't get out of the blocks. Arlington taking advantage. And Luis Garcia, as you said, the great come-from-nowhere story.
Luis Perez. Yep.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, he played lights out. He's the Ryan Fitzpatrick of alternative football leagues. He's played in the Spring League, the Alliance American Football, Birmingham Iron, United States Football League, the Jersey Generals. The guy's played in so many leagues. He's been in the XFL 2020 version with the LA Wildcats and the New York Guardians. Then he went to the Vegas Vipers this season. Then he got traded to those Allen Hollis and Renegades. The guy's this is a culmination, but he won a Division II championship when he played in college. But this is a culmination where he made the most of every opportunity. And instead of struggling, he adapted quickly and he thrived. And he got, it's kind of like an NHL team getting hot at the right time. They made the right trades. And the thing was, the acquisition of Luis Perez led the Arlington Renegades to the championship.
Yeah, and the way that the system is, again, with four of the eight teams making the playoffs, there is always the opportunity for a team in Arlington's situation to make that playoff run here. Of course, D.C. winning the North with a 9-1 record, Seattle 7-3, the wild card out of that division, St. Louis 7-3, but wrong place, wrong time as far as the division went. Houston wins the South at 7-3, Arlington takes the wild card at 4-6 and makes the most of it. So St. Louis on the outside looking in. Arlington able to make it through. And again, with that late season quarterback switch, with everything that they had going for them there, jumping out to that start and hanging on in the end, it had to be something that was very thrilling to watch from within that stadium there, and I imagine that the press box was a pretty electric place to be.
Well, the Alamo Dome is a nice press box. You're not totally enclosed, so you feel part of the action. And they had 22,794 fans of the game. It definitely was an exciting experience. And the thing is, it's funny that the XFL has maybe considered changing the playoff format where you have two division champions, two best teams. If they do this now after Arlington winning a championship, it's going to look bad for the league. So I think, this might be a fluke where, a second place team in a division has struggles and does do better than a, this may be a fluke situation. I think if the league if DC won and they made the decision, fine. But if now Arlington wins, if they make the decision where you do the top two teams and top two, division winners and top two teams after that, you're going to say, well, that means Arlington would never win a championship if those rules were in place in the first place. So,
yeah, it would be some egg on the face, I think, if they changed it at this point here. Basically an admission that St. Louis got screwed over and that Arlington shouldn't have been there in the first place. So that's how you know it's not going to happen. But, again, the XFL having a successful season, I think, by their standards, as far as I think the ratings were at least within the realm of what they were expecting. As you noted in your outstanding column, I would urge everybody to go check out at oursportscentral.com the Franz Stuckberry recap of not only the game but the week. You passed along the fact that the XFL announced that 21 players have signed NFL contracts since the season concluded. And many of those players being on the all-XFL team. So it is succeeding on that basis as well, as far as giving players the opportunity to make it to a bigger stage.
And Rick, since then, it's kind of hard and hard, even more players are happening. It's kind of, since then, they're getting opportunities. You want to know why? Because the season ends in May, so they can go to OTAs and training camps. Unlike the USFL, where you get in there in July, and in most cases, you're nothing but a warm body in camp.
Yes. So this is going to be a real opportunity for players to compete for starting jobs this August. And again, showing on this stage what they are capable of doing in the optimal setting, and certainly Luis Perez being one of those players. That is the dream, I think, for all of these guys, is to be able to get an opportunity like the one that he had and exploit it. You're looking at an effect in the championship game here where they converted 11 of 15 third down attempts on their different drives here. So you can't be a whole lot more efficient than they were.
You definitely can't be, and Jordan Tamuel will be a guy that's going to, all he has to do is make sure, he's going to get offers, he has to pick the right fit for him. Jordan Tamuel deserves to be in the NFL and to be a third-string or maybe backup quarterback. Ben DiNucci signed with Denver Broncos. Hey, man, behind Russell Wilson, that's a good job to have, right? Ben DiNucci, Avery Smith, the DC Defenders running back, he'll get an opportunity for the right spot. It's going to be more and more guys that are going to get opportunities to make rosters. And the fun thing is, this with the NFL, Rick, they're keeping guys in camp till the end of it. I think they're going to keep all, like, one day they're going to have one mega cut. I think the NFL is doing something different this year. So players are going to be able to hang around as long as possible to show coaches that they deserve an opportunity. And when, even if they don't get the opportunity now, when injuries happen, players are going to be considered throughout the NFL season, and that's going to be a fun part as well. But one thing I want to say about the XFL, let's say hypothetically the XFL 2020 season did not get canceled because of COVID. With Vince McMahon and those allegations against him, it would have had to end anyway, Rick. Do you really think he would have kept the XFL all those allegations and stuff that happened with him anyway, if he was still in control? I don't think he would have been able to, Rick.
That's an excellent point. You would have had that coming up anyways, and that is a business that was built far more directly around him than the WWE as a whole, where he was the major stockholder and held titles there in the corporation. But this whole Alpha Enterprises or whatever the heck it was built around him specifically. So you're not wrong about that part of it there. They kind of had to go through the twists and turns that they did. Obviously, this has been a very important enterprise to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and that he and his ex-wife Danny Garcia and the corporate partners that they have making it through this season, and again poised to do so through the next couple of seasons as well. I know that you and I have been saying all along there may only be room for one spring league in the marketplace. The USFL has hung on into year two here at this point, but at a certain point in time it does look like it might winnow down to one. And as of right now, if that happens, my money would be on the XFL.
Well, the thing is, I know people are saying that it's a mistake of starting early, but the thing is, they're going up against March Madness, they're doing different things. But at the same point, it's the perfect time as far as if you want to have that relationship with the NFL, if you want players to get opportunities, it's the perfect time for it to for these things to happen. And the thing is, the games have been fun. Fan bases, in D.C., I went to a D.C. game in 2020. I can't wait to get to one next season and experience the beer thing. That's one game I don't even want to sit in the press box, Rick. I want to be in the stands and the fans. I'll even drink a beer to contribute to that snake. Speaking of beers, when I was down in San Antonio, they had their own Alamo beer. 19.2 ounces. It was kind of a dark beer for only $2. It was a good beer. I don't drink one of them because I'm covering the championship, but like I said, if I was a fan, maybe a few more would have happened.
Only $2.
I had a good time hanging out with fans. I even did karaoke for the first time, singing "America" Neil Diamond. So, hey, man, that was a fun experience. And like I said, it's just I had moments down in San Antonio I'm never going to forget. Being in media day, being on the XFL championship field, the first championship I ever covered, I was showered with confetti. That was awesome.
That is great, yeah. And at $2, man, I haven't seen beer prices like that since the great days down in Athens, Ohio. But that was many, many moons ago and many rounds of inflation ago. So that is tremendous to be able to get that at the Alamo Dome for a deal. Folks should go check that out for different events that they have coming up there. And it sounds like you had a great week covering this. And I know you're... enthusiasm for all things XFL has been very, very great throughout the years, and that it's actually made a tremendous impression on you personally in your life as you've been covering it and going through this journey sort of parallel to it. And look forward to see how it's going to unfold for you in the next couple of years, my man.
Oh, definitely, Rick. It's the reason. Thanks for covering the XFL 2001 is why I'm living in Raleigh now, where I'm very happy. So it's very personal to me as well. Yep. The thing is, I've done a good job as writing, but I aim to do even better next season as far as things I want to accomplish. Maybe I'll do a 2 XFL games in Texas over a weekend if I can pull that off. And I'd like to say, Rick, if the championship is in St. Louis, I would love to go to St. Louis for a championship. I want to do the Arch. I want to, experience with the barbecue. I want to maybe do some sports, MLS game or something else fun while I'm in St. Louis. And the thing is about San Antonio, this is the first championship I covered. I had the media experience covering the game. I had the fan experience. And I had the vacation experience with the Riverwalk, the tour of the Alamo, and walk around San Antonio. It's kind of like where I got all three boxes the first time in any championship I had covered.
Yeah, and I think you'll definitely enjoy St. Louis when you go there. I think you'll get a lot out of that if they end up hosting the championship game next year. So we'll have to see where that plays out in the year and years to come. So Any other thoughts on the XFL championship game and or the season of 2023, Fran Stuckberry?
Well, the XFL did the 1.4 rating and peaked at 1.8. The camera guy, the guy hit during the game, luckily only started with a minor concussion. The game was delayed 15 minutes because of that. That was one thing I wanted to touch. But next season, Rick, the league hopefully has more enhancement in the markets. In June, they're going to have a college draft where players didn't get drafted or eligible. The thing is, Rick, you know how much I love college football. I'm going to know guys that are drafted that got drafted already without even having to research on them. So that'll be kind of another fun aspect to see in June, which players that have been overlooked, get opportunities to get an opportunity to make XFL rosters. It's been a fun thing. And the thing is, next season there's going to be a lot more pressure on them to increase attendance, to get better time slots to the games, to have more of a consistent schedule where fans know when exactly to tune in, to have less games on FX and more games on ABC, ESPN, and just to have more games on those channels instead of FX.
Yes, and they pulled some games off of FX earlier in the year because I think they thought that there's not enough consumer knowledge in the marketplace that FX is part of the Disney bundle of channels here at this point. Of course, it was purchased from Fox a couple of years ago, and I guess they figured not enough people knew to look for games there. Maybe that will change by next year, maybe not. But, yeah, much to look forward to in the days ahead for the XFL as they make it through their season successfully, which COVID-19 prevented them from doing in 2020, but they made it all the way through this point. I think it was a success. I know you do as well. We'll see what happens in 2024, but as it goes along, always a pleasure charting the journey with you, Fran Stuckberry. Excellent coverage at rsportscentral.com. Thank you for making time for us today.
Thanks, Rick. As they say about your show, if you're down with the FDH round, I have three words for you. Listen to it.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, my friend. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1619.